Today on Real Radio.
There is that something that you and I in this life are called to do, like a Gideon. And we better find out what it is. We must. There's people around us dependent on you and I finding out what God wants to do in our lives. By faith, there are children being fed in North Africa tonight because you didn't sit idle. By faith, there are missionaries being supported because you do not sit idle. By faith, there are moms bringing in newborn babies into this world. By faith, there's marriages that are going to make it through hard times because people are hanging on to God to get them through. And by faith, children are praying for their moms and their dads. And I know you trust God too, but in a sense, you see how dependent we are on one another in this thing of faith?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. Now, you may have heard the term, putting a fleece before the Lord. Well, this comes from the portion of Scripture we're looking at, Judges chapter 6 and verses 33 through 40. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Using Your Faith.
For some of you, God is preparing an answer, you're seeking Him, and you've been crying out to Him, and He's going to answer you. He will answer you, guaranteed. You are asking Him about ministry. You're asking about direction. You're asking for His perfect will to be done, and you're seeking Him. He's going to answer you. But listen, some of you are asking God to speak to you for the sheer jollies of it. Some of you are asking God to speak to you, and nothing's happened yet. I got news for you. Nothing's going to happen. You want to know why? Unlike Gideon, you're kind of goofing off. Hey, let's see if God will speak to me. He will not speak to you, just like He will not empower you by the Holy Spirit coming upon you, because, my friend, you've got no trumpet to blow, you've got no Midianites to attack, you've got no nation to defend, because you're not standing for anything, you're barely sitting for anything. Why would God empower you? For what reason? Why would He pour out the Holy Spirit on you when you have determined not to obey Him, not to go anywhere with Him? God wastes nothing. Didn't Jesus say, wait in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you shall go and be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Samaria, in Judea, and the other most parts of the earth? Did not He give first the assignment and then say, wait for the power to do it? So listen, I love all of you, but some of you, you don't intend to do anything with your Christianity. But you want to hear God speak. He's not going to speak to you. Well, I want to know if I should go left or go right. You've got to get desperate before Him. God wants to speak to Gideons. And that's my prayer for all of us, that that's who we would be. But we need to pray. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. You say, how does that verse apply? Because in the Greek, it's a continuous tense. Ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. Knock, 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 until God says, who's there? And He's going to answer. We need to stop for a moment and think about that in our lives. What is the Lord telling you and I to do? Have we been asking, seeking, and knocking to find out what His will is in our lives? If so, what is He saying? Secondly, under this point, making sure that it is of the Lord, is that we must willingly engage ourselves. We must willingly engage ourselves. We've got to get into the flow. We can look at the river going by all day long and see everybody floating down and having a great time. But if you really want to enjoy your river trip, you got to get in the water. You can go to the beach and look at all the people riding the waves and enjoying the water and the sun and all of the fun that we enjoy at the beach. But it's only academic, as it were, until you get into the water. A Christian has been designed to live and use and exercise his faith, and that is to willingly engage ourselves in this spiritual life that God has called us to do, called us to live. In putting this together, I thought about this. If there ever comes a day in the Christian church that the church begins to lean upon or rest upon or call for motivational speakers to get us involved in ministry, motivational speakers to get us to be givers of our money and of our time and efforts, if we've got to, if the Christian church around the world has got to bring in a motivational speaker to pump you up, then we are sicker than I thought. We have left the Holy Spirit in our lives. Can you imagine? To bring in a motivational speaker into the work of God to stir you up? You know, those guys can stir people up to do anything. What's the option? There is no option. There's only a true relationship with God. The Spirit of God must speak to your heart and my heart about serving Him, loving Him, and being willingly engaging in what God's work is all about. And I thank God for Gideon. He is getting involved. And as a Christian, the bottom line is we're to be motivated by the cause of Christ. The cause of Jesus Christ. Whatever motivated Jesus to leave heaven, to come to this rotten earth, what motivated him should be my motivation. Jesus loves people. That's why he came. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 that Jesus loved us so much that it was a joy for him to go to the cross. I can't understand that. I just have to believe that. That's what the Bible says. In Isaiah 53 verse 11, the Bible says that the Father, the Lord, God, shall see the labor of his soul, that's Jesus, and be satisfied. And by his knowledge of my righteous servant shall he justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. God was pleased when Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins. So what should motivate me? The next Tony Robbins seminar or the next Donald Trump, you know, session? The very Word of God, the very cause of Christ should cause you and I to use these feet until they're tired to get the Word of God out and to love people, to visit people that are in the hospital. We have people in this church that are hospitalized. We've got people that are hurting. The ministers, the pastors, and the lay staff that's here at this church can't do it all. You've got to get engaged because God has loved you so much. It's what we must do. Making sure also that it is of the Lord this way, verse 37, that we must actively serve him. We must actively serve the Lord. It says in verse 37, then I shall know, says Gideon, that you will save Israel by my hand as you have said. What a great word. Then I shall know. Then I shall know. I'm assuming that when you and I, like Gideon, know what we're to do, then wild horses cannot stop us, nor angels from heaven or demons from hell shall stop us. Church, please. Gideon said, then I shall know. And that's my prayer for my life. That's my prayer for your life tonight. Dear God in heaven above, may each of us in the ministry that you've called us together to perform for your glory, may we do that thing. May we hear from you as we seek you with all of our hearts, turning off the TV and off the radio and listening and waiting and calling out to glorify you, God, in our lives. God will speak. And you and I will stand up and say, I know. I know what I'm to do. And I thank God. For now, I'm standing here. I say for now because I don't know what God's going to say about my life in the future. My passion, my heart, is to reach the church of Jesus Christ with the building up of his people in Bible teaching. I'm not a very good evangelist in the broad sense, but I do love, though it terrifies me, to evangelize people one-on-one, but to go to the lost. And I think that's why this current time in our nation, in our world, and this oncoming Islamic threat to America and Europe has seized my heart so much. Hey, I don't want to blow anybody up. I don't want to cut anybody's heads off. I want to love them to Jesus. I want to lead them to Christ. I may not do that. I may not be successful at it. It may not work. But you know what? God told me to go do that. God told me to say this and to do that thing and to pray. And I got to do that. And you might say, well, I don't like you doing that. Pastor, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to go to Germany or France or Russia or Pomona or Irvine. We don't want you to go to Washington and tell, hey, listen, I love you, but I've got to obey my boss. My boss is going to judge me in the end. And he's your boss too. And I want to actively serve him. Third and final point tonight, it's this, verses 38 to 40. Using your faith is confirming the will of the Lord. Confirming the will of the Lord in your life. You'll never know with deep confirmation what the will of the Lord is in your life without using your faith. It's not going to happen. Verse 38, we're taught this. The Lord will be clear. He will be clear to us, and so it was. Don't you love that? And it was so. I guess you could say, and so it was. But, and it was so when he rose early the next morning. I wonder if he slept at all. I'm sorry, but if it would have been me, I would have had my eyeball pinned on the fleece on top of the threshing floor. I would have been peeping out of my tent, peeking there. Is he going to make it wet or dry by an angel? Is he going to send over a little cloud and it's going to rain everywhere around but on the skin? Or is it going to rain on the skin and not on the... I would have loved to have watched that. It's funny to me. I wonder if Gideon just laid there waiting and waiting and waiting like we often do. And it's like, man, should I get up? Should I not get up? Should I get up? Should I... Oh, man, I'm getting up. He gets up very early in the morning. And he goes out there and he squeezes the fleece. So he squeezes this animal skin together and he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. You guys, that's not normal. We're talking about dew here. Morning dew. He runs up there and he starts squeezing this chamois, you know, an animal skin. He squeezes it and it fills up a bowl of water. The word here for a bowl of water, a bowl full of water, it's a large bowl. This is a miracle. God spoke, answered his request. You see, Jack, I'm going to go home tonight and lay out a fleece before the Lord. Hey, listen, first of all, have a purpose, have a reason, be desperate before God, seek him and ask him. But listen, I may get in trouble with somebody who hears this. I don't care because I got to tell you something. I personally ask God when there's a big decision going on, Lord, show me what your will is. Lord, do this thing to confirm to my heart. Now I'm letting you in on how God speaks to me in and through and out of his word. It may not work for you, but for me, I'll say, Lord, I've got these verses. I believe they came from you. This passion is burning on my heart. I'm not going to take one step until you confirm it to me. Lord, and here's the key. Lord, and in this case, let's just use his case. Lord, cause all the ground around the chamois, the skin to be soaked and the chamois to be dry. Or the ground to be dry and the chamois to be completely soaked. And God answers. See, some people will lay out a fleece and say things like, they don't work, that's wrong, it's stupid, it's ridiculous. And they'll say something like this, God, if you're speaking to me, cause a red car to drive by. And they open their eyes and then they see a blue car and a white car, a white car and a white car, and a green car, and a white car, and a white car, and then a red car, and they go, oh, look, God spoke. And they go out and they sell their house to buy that stock, and it crashes and plummets, or whatever the situation is. And they say, God let them down. God cheated them. God lied to them. Oh, no, 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 no. That's ridiculous. That's like saying, God, speak to me. If you want me to quit my job, God, cause the sun to come up tomorrow morning. That's ridiculous. You want to ask God to answer you. Ask God not to have the sun come up tomorrow morning. Like Joshua when they were in battle. God, we need you. Hear our prayer. We need you to help us in this battle. Cause the sun to stand still. Now that's pretty impossible. And the sun stood still. Some of you are going to have issues about what I just said. That's your problem. Go deal with that. Listen, I'm telling you, for me personally, it's been a few times in my life. God, please speak to me. If this is you and you've told me to do this, then I'm asking you, confirm that to my heart by this thing. And he's never failed me. He's done it so clearly, I got to tell you, he's done it so clearly that I've stood alone in opposition or in opposing opinions. I stood alone and listened to how dumb I was going to be for this decision. It's going to be the end. It's not going to work. It's not going to pan out. And I knew God has spoken, and I just stood there with my mouth shut. And as the months went by, then it was confirmed to others. I wasn't trembling. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't shaking in my boots. I knew that he had spoken. And you can be calm with that. You can be confident in that as he brings confirmation. Also this, number two under this final point, confirming his will for our lives is that the Lord will be patient with us. And these next two points will go quickly. Patient, aren't you glad he's patient? Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me." Can you hear Gideon? "Please be patient, Lord. But let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece," so he has the Lord reverse it. God is so patient. God is patient and he's kind. But notice that Gideon didn't sit idle. I don't think the Lord was saying, "All right, Gideon, I'll be patient. You're wearing my patience thin, Gideon." He didn't do that. Why? Are you ready for this? I think you know the answer. You already know. Gideon was going to do what he was sure about what God was telling him to do. Of course, the Lord knew that. Gideon wasn't saying, "You know, make it wet, make it dry, make it dry, make it wet, and maybe I'll do it." He asked for the confirmation because he was going to do it. That's why God was patient with him. I think God gladly indulged Gideon on this fleece because God knew that Gideon was going to act in faith. Remember that, Christian, when the next time you start beating yourself up, "God, I'll just do anything you tell me to do." God bless you. That's awesome. Stay that way, Christian. Here's the beautiful thing. Don't you not want to know what God's will is for your life? Don't you want to know if God would have you to stay, to move to New York, or to sell this, or to buy that, or to go right, or to go left, what school or college or what career? Don't you think God wants you to know that more than you want to know that? "Oh God, please lead me. Lead me in my life. I need you to lead me." Don't you think God wants to lead you more than you want to be led? "Oh God, I want to serve you. I want to serve you, God. Make of me whatever you want me to be, but God, I want to serve you." Don't you think that God put that in your heart? Didn't Jesus say that your Father in heaven knows what you have need of before you even ask? But he turned right around and said, "Ask him." Wow, he's so patient. And finally, we end with this: the Lord will be gracious. Verse 40 says, "And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground." I love that opening statement there, or that sentence. "And God did so that night." And God did so that night. The graciousness of God. Church, some of our friends, some of the body of Christ are suffering greatly with great diseases, great sicknesses, great cancers ravaging their body. And if you are in need, if you are hurting, if you're crying out, and you ask God to speak to you, and you are able to write down soon, when God brings you through this, God will bring you through, and you'll be able to say, "And God did so that night." Maybe it was a long night of suffering, and the morning comes, and you can say, "God held my hand through the night. God got me through. God did so that night." Maybe it's a difficult time in your life, or your marriage, or your income, and you just give it all to God. I want to tell you something. You will never, never, never be put to shame if you stay close to Jesus. And you too will be able to say, "And God did so that night." That dark night of your soul and mine, when everything seems to be failing. Maybe that's not you tonight. Maybe you're saying, well, nothing's failing, but I feel so far from God inside. I can't explain it. Don't know why. There are those nights of the soul. You know, I've concluded that God tests my heart that way and your heart that way to see if we will apply the Word of God to our lives. You ever feel distant from God and you check all your bases? You're not sinning, you didn't rob a bank, you didn't bite the dog, you didn't, you know, chew the tree down in the backyard, everything's fine, you didn't cuss anybody out, you're not drug addicted, drinking, you're fine, you checked all the bases. What's wrong, God? I'm reading my Bible, I'm going to church, I'm loving you, what's wrong? You know what? Just stay at it. Shipmasters do it at sea. They stay the course. Pilots do it when it's turbulent. Stay the course. Don't stop. Yeah, but I don't know what's going on. You don't need to know sometime what's going on. It's dark. It's foggy. It's scary. Stay the course. Keep going. You're going to arrive to the harbor. You're going to arrive to the airport. You're going to pull in. Never make decisions in that condition. God's gracious. And then I want to just end with this, just some thoughts. And you can close your Bibles even and just think this through. Using your faith, I wrote this down, is the greatest thing that God can call you and I here on earth to do. How will others be blessed by you and I unless you and I get our faith out there among other people? There is that something that you and I in this life are called to do, like a Gideon. And we better find out what it is. We must. There's people around us dependent on you and I finding out what God wants to do in our lives. By faith, there are children being fed in North Africa tonight because you didn't sit idle. By faith, there are missionaries being supported because you do not sit idle. By faith, there are moms bringing in newborn babies into this world. They're trusting God to bring that child about. By faith, there's marriages that are going to make it through hard times because people are hanging on to God to get them through. And by faith, children are praying for their moms and their dads. And I know you trust God too, but in a sense, you see how dependent we are on one another in this thing of faith? We all come together on this. In prayer, in giving, in serving, in study, in worship, in praise, in witnessing, in evangelism. It is high time, church, as we end this, it's high time that we as Christians put on our helmets and be ready to know what we believe, why we believe it, and to give arguments for it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Using Your Faith. It's taken from the last 8 verses of Judges chapter 6. Currently, Pastor Jack is also teaching a topical series called Life and the Bible. You know, many parts of Scripture contain practical wisdom, suggestions, tips, certainly commands on how to live and deal with the issues we experience in everyday life. Well, Pastor Jack takes us through them in this series called Life in the Bible. And this week, for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Life and the Bible, Being a Christian in Your Relationships. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.